जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया, भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 3, chapter number 2, text 21. Svayam tva samyat dishayas tadishaha. Svayam tavasmyatishayastradishah. Svarajya lakshmyapta samasta kamah. Svarajya lakshmyapta samasta kamah. Balim Haribhish Chiraloka Palaye. Balim Haribhish Chiraloka Palaye. Kirita Kotyetita Padapitaha. Kirita kotye tita pada pitaha. Svayam tvasam yati shasya yastridisha. Svayam Svaraja lakshmyapta samasta kamaha. Balim harivdish chiraloka palaye. Kirita kotye dita pada pitaha. I'd just like to ask the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and other devotees to first chant the verse. Any of the adults in the crowd would like to chant the verse before the students? Maybe the students then? Word for word. Svayam, himself. Two. But. Asamya, unique. Atishaya, greater. Tri Adisha, Lord of the Three. Svarajya, independent supremacy. Lakshmi, fortune. Apta, achieved. Samasta Kama, all desires. Balim, worshipping paraphernalia. Haradbhi, offered by. Chiraloka Palai, by the eternal maintainers of the order of creation. Kirita Koti, millions of helmets. Adita Pada Pitaha, feet honored by prayers. Translation: Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is so mild and merciful, as described in the above verses, and yet he is the Lord of all kinds of threes. He is the supreme Lord of the three worlds, the three qualities of material nature, and the three Purushas, Karuna Dakshai, Garbhadakshai, and Shiradakshai Vishnu. There are innumerable universes, and in each and every universe there are different manifestations of Brahma, Vishnu, and Rudra. Besides that, there is the Seshamurti who bears all the universes on his hoods. And Lord Krishna is the Lord of all of them. As the incarnation of Manu, he is the original source of all Manus in innumerable universes. Each universe has manifestations of 504,000 Manus. He is the Lord of the three principal potencies, namely Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti, and Tatastha Shakti. He is the complete master of six kinds of fortune: wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. There is none who can excel him in any matter of enjoyment, and certainly there is no one greater than him. No one is equal to or greater than him. It is the duty of everyone, whoever and wherever one may be, to surrender completely unto him. It is not wonderful, therefore, that all the transcendental controllers surrender to him and make all offerings of worship. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachayane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshitaya Pancha Kalpa Dubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. So I noticed a theme that I tend to go to whenever I speak, especially on Wednesdays. Because often when I look at a verse, I try to see what is this verse saying in context of the chapter and what theme can I bring out as a topic for today for all of you. And I tend to keep speaking about the same thing, and that's our relationship with Krishna in some form or regard, some point in our relationship with Krishna. And I was thinking, why do I keep going back to this again and again? And then I was remembering in the beginning of Bhagavatam, it says that give up all varieties of cheating religion, or religion that does not aim towards devotion to the Supreme Lord. And the sole purpose of this Bhagavatam book is that it's bhakti to Krishna, it's devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So today I'm also going to bring up another aspect of our relationship with Krishna, but I think it's quite interesting. So last week, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had spoken about a verse where Uddhava had stated how bewildered he was by Krishna's activities. Do you remember that? He was saying how it's so bewildering that Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of all kinds of threes, like it's stated here, the three Purushas of the three forms of Vishnu, three modes of material nature, three this, three that, three kinds of energy, but he's acting almost like a human being. And it's so bewildering. At the same time, he's so powerful, and he's killing these demons in Vrindavan, but he's liberating all of them. And just through the arrows shot by Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the warriors from the Kaurava army who are being shot by these arrows are actually being liberated. Just by seeing me, by seeing Krishna, they're being liberated. So he's so bewildered, he's thinking, how is this possible? How can it be so great? How can it be the Lord whose millions of helmets of the maintainers of creation bow down to his feet? But yet he is humbly bowing down his head to the feet of Ugrasena, his grandfather, the king. How is this possible? He's so bewildered. In fact, to the point where Uddhava says, it actually pains my heart. Not that this is it's disgusted by it, but it's just so, there's so much affection there. There's so much love, reciprocation, so much gratitude, so much humility, that it actually makes me feel something so deeply. So here Uddhava is saying about Krishna's wonderful, wonderful qualities. And the point that's being made in these few verses is this sort of contrast between his magnanimous, his great qualities, yet his very loving nature to his devotees, and his almost what seems to be human interactions. So there's a list of qualities that Krishna has, and this is provided in Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. And Rupa Goswami states 64 qualities of Krishna. And there's so many qualities, and there's certain qualities that are just specific to Krishna that make him very unique. And there's one quality that I liked very much that I want to bring out today. And that's Krishna's quality of gratitude. Krishna is grateful. Krishna is grateful for who? Krishna is grateful for what? He's grateful for his devotees. And he's grateful for any love that they offer them. And his gratitude is so strong and it's so great that he feels that he cannot repay the debt that his devotees, the debt of love that his devotees have for him. Can you just imagine that? That Krishna has so much gratitude for the love, and you can think, what love do we have? We left him, we're here in this material world because we want to enjoy separate from Krishna. Yet any act of devotion towards him, he's so grateful, he feels he can't repay that back. What an amazing quality to have. So last week I spoke about our relationship to Krishna in aspect of we should be very personal and how we interact with Krishna. But today I want to give a clue into what happens in Krishna's mind. What does he think about us? Have you ever thought maybe it would change your perception of Krishna, change your relationship a little bit, change how you approach him? If you saw the deities, if you thought of Krishna in a way that actually he wants me more than I want to go to him. He wants me to come back to him more than I want to approach him. It would make you feel inspired. It would make you feel, oh, actually, maybe I should make more of an endeavor. And that's what I want to bring out today. So Krishna, that's the truth. Krishna wants us to come back to him more than we actually want to come to him ourselves. And there's a really beautiful story that I want to illustrate. It's the story of Gopakumar. Have anybody heard of Gopakumar before? Hands up, a few people maybe. Gopakumar, the story of Gopakumar is mentioned in a book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami. And the story is very extensive. It goes into much detail. It spans two big books this big. And it talks about a journey of a boy who comes from Vrindavan. He's just a simple coward boy, and he has a journey going back to Godhead. But he goes through every which direction just to find out that actually being in Vrindavan and chanting was the way to go back to Krishna. And he was just searching for Krishna in Vrindavan his whole life. But he went all around the universe, took every post and position to come to where he did. And when he finally came to Krishna, Krishna had the most beautiful and loving response. So Gopakumar was a Brahmana boy, or a Vaishya boy, rather. So he was a coward boy in Govardhan. And him and his friends, they would notice that there was this person who was very strange, who lived in Govardhan. But he was very nice. And so they like to spend time with him. It's weird, but okay, it's fine, because he's really sweet to them, and he's an old saint. But one day, Gopakumar came, they would offer milk to him, and when Gopakumar was alone, he came across this person on the bank of the Yamuna, and this person told him, okay, go take a bath, and when you come back, I'll give you a mantra. So Gopakumar did that, he came back, and he received a mantra. It was a 10-syllable Gopal mantra, a mantra aimed to Lord Gopal, and he said, you chant this mantra, and you always chant this mantra. And he explained the glory of this mantra. And then he left, and that was it. That was the strange experience with this person who gave this mantra. So Gopakumar tried it. And when he tried chanting this mantra, he lost interest in everything else. All he wanted to do was chant this mantra, chant this mantra, chant this mantra. He didn't want to be around his friends, his family. He just wanted to chant. And so this mantra and this chanting of his mantra took him on a journey to find God. And so he said, I'm going to leave Vrindavan, and I'm going to start to wander, and I just want to find a solitary place away from my family and away from everything that's going on and just chant. And so he came to so many places, and I'm not going to tell every place, but I'm going to mention a few because it shows that everywhere he went, he was searching for something, and he got what he was searching for, but he still felt a little empty inside. So he went to Prayag, and he saw, which is where the rivers meet, Saraswati and Ganga and Yamuna, and they meet in Prayag, and he saw someone with a Shaligram Shila in a box, and he got very excited. Oh, it's a Shaligram Shila. what are you doing? Oh, I'm worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's in this box, and he thought, oh, but what if he feels hungry? How is he going to eat? What's going on here? And he didn't really like this so much. And he heard, okay, there's another temple somewhere else that they feed the Lord very extensively. And so he went there. And then he found out over there that, but all the Mahaprasadam, so much of it goes to waste. And he didn't like that. No, but how can Krishna's Mahaprasadam go to waste? And then he heard of Jagannath Puri. Anybody here been to Jagannath Puri before? All of you just had Jagannath Mahaprasadam. So you've just been to Jagannath Puri. And there in Jagannath Puri, not a single grain of Mahaprasadam goes to waste. It's distributed all over the town. And it really, it's amazing. You, even if you don't go inside Jagannath Temple, Jagannath Mahaprasadam will just somehow come to you. It's sold on the streets. It's given here and there. There's always an abundance. Jagannath Mahaprasadam is considered so, so special. He loved this and so on and so forth. He kept going to different places. He ended up going to the heavenly planets. How does Indra worship? Indra left because he had something going on. So they made him Indra. And he didn't like that. He went to Brahmaloka. How does things go in Brahmaloka? Eventually he became Brahma. He goes to see Lord Shiva again and again. He goes higher and higher, and he goes back and forth. And eventually he comes to Vaikuntha. And this mantra, all along the way, he's chanting this mantra. He's chanting this mantra. This mantra is bringing him on his path to find Krishna. And he's trying everything. He's seeing sages in different places, different planetary systems. By the time he comes to Vaikuntha, and he's there, he meets Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. They're very affectionate to him. But then he's asked, why do you still have this human form of a coward boy? We have forearm forms that Lord Narayan here. You should also have one. Though he didn't want one. When you heard about Lord Ram and Sita, he went to Ayodhya. From there, he had the mercy to go to Dwarka. And so he was with Krishna in Dwarka, with the queens. Yet he still felt unhappy. He still felt unsatisfied. Because this mantra was a mantra for Gopal. He was ultimately searching for Krishna in Vrindavan, Gopal. And so Narad Muni asked him, why are you unsatisfied? You're having the association of Krishna. So much affection is coming from him, from his wives, from the queens. Why do you feel this way? I'm still searching for, I'm just not satisfied. I'm searching for Krishna, the flute playing Krishna. Where is he? So he said, you just go back to Vrindavan, where you came from, and chant this mantra in Vrindavan. That's what you need to do, and you'll meet Krishna. He does so. He faints. When he wakes up, he's on an airplane. He's going to Goloka Vrindavan, and he gets to Vrindavan. And this part is so, so sweet. The part where Gopakumar finally meets Krishna after this long, long journey. He finally meets the Gopal he's searching for, the flute-playing Krishna, the coward boy in Vrindavan. So I want to read a little bit of that verse and the interaction of Krishna. So when he finally gets there, he's asking the Brajavasis, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Krishna had gone for the day in the fields. And just him being gone for the day, the Brajavasis felt so saddened, almost heartbroken. All they were doing was waiting for him to come back so they can see him. And when the time of the day came, when Krishna played his flute for all the cows to come closer and come together to go back home, everyone stood still. The Yamuna River stopped flowing. The Brajavasis stood still. Everyone's hair stood on end. And Gopakumar knew, oh, this is Krishna coming back. And Krishna coming back, he saw Gopakumar and he began to run to him. He was so excited. And he said, welcome, welcome. He said twice, welcome, my dear boy. I am most fortunate. I am most fortunate to meet you here. For so long, I have been eager to see you. Krishna was waiting for him for so long. He could see his journey the whole time. For so long, I've been so eager to see you. He said, my dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes. Not just this lifetime searching for me. You've passed many lifetimes, and you didn't look for me at all. There are many lifetimes that passed, but you didn't search for me. You paid no attention to me. For so long, he said, you had me dancing, thinking that I was dancing like a fool, thinking perhaps in this lifetime, or maybe this lifetime, or this one, or maybe that lifetime. And so many lifetimes went by. I thought, this one or this one, he'll come back to me. One of these lifetimes, he'll turn to me. He was telling, in this way, he was telling Gopa Kumar, even though you forgot me again and again and again, I remembered you the whole time. I was thinking, when will you come? This was the love and affection he had for his devotees. When are you going to come? And then he had said, but I became impatient. I could find no pretext unto which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I've created myself. What are the timeless laws that Krishna has created? Any guesses? Timeless laws. The law of karma and the law of free will. Krishna creates a timeless law to allow us to have choice. He doesn't dictate what we do, but we have the choice. He puts us in a situation based on our choices. Karma comes into play, and certain actions lead to reactions, and therefore life goes on. So he says, there's this free will I do not interrupt with, but you just weren't coming back to me. I was waiting and waiting, and you weren't coming back. So I had no other choice. And he said, for this reason, I bent my own rule. I broke my own rule a little bit because I could not wait for you to come back. He was so eager. He said, my dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, that man, that strange man who you met, who gave you the mantra, that was actually me in disguise. I came as your guru. And this is such a beautiful, wonderful point that we have this free will that is meant to be used to realize that we're meant to be with Krishna. That's the purpose of our free will. But we don't exercise it in this way. Even if we have an opportunity, we often forget. So we need help. And what's that help? The help is the representation of Krishna as guru, as a spiritual master, as a spiritual guide. And this is Krishna's representation of himself as a personality of guru, meaning that guru is not by chance. Meeting guru is not by having us being here in this room under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, being born in the movement of Srila Prabhupada, it's not by chance. It is Krishna's mercy. It is just like hearing Gopa Kumar's story. It's Krishna seeing all of you and saying, oh, I want them to come back to me. They have such a good position. I'm going to put them in a position to be at Bhaktivedanta Academy, to be here today, to have that opportunity to come back. I'm going to bend the rules a little bit because he loves each and every one of you just as much as he loves Gopa Kumar. And he reciprocates in the same way with everybody. So he said, I myself became your guru, known as, by the name of Jayanta. And like this way, Krishna gives a very big warm embrace. It's this beautiful photo that I wish I had brought to put up. But you see Krishna embracing Gopa Kumar and all the coward boys in Vrindavan. And so when I think of this verse that we speak about today, Lord Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes. He's independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He's worshipped by the eternal maintainers of creation. All of them offer their helmets, touch the ground. Millions of them. Such a great person. And you might think, such a great person with so much responsibility, why do they care about me? Why do they think about me? Why am I significant? Why is my life significant in their life? But that's Krishna's loving ability. This is his personality that actually he cares about us more than we care about him. And he wants us to come back to him more than we want to go to him. And so there's a wonderful verse in Bhagavad Gita that I want to tie this into. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there is no loss or diminution in any activity in the path of devotion towards me. Neha bhikramana shosti pratyavaya navidyate. That any act performed in this path of devotion and bhakti towards me, there's no loss. It doesn't become diminished in any way. And even just the smallest activity can protect the devotee from the greatest type of danger. And so what Krishna means by this is it's not a mechanical process that we do a little bit, and then we do a little bit more, and then we get 10% and 20%, eventually we hit 100%, and then we're perfected in this lifetime. But rather, You know, it's not like a video game. It's not like you play one level and then you finish that level and you're on to the next level and you turn the Xbox off and you turn it back on and you're back where you saved. But what he's saying by this is that Krishna, the person, appreciates so much what little endeavor that we do. He remembers it. He doesn't forget this endeavor. That whatever endeavor that we do in this lifetime, if we forget it and then can forget him entirely and then continue in our devotional service in another lifetime, he doesn't dwell on the "you forgot him" part. He dwells on the fact that you did something for me and therefore that established our relationship and we'll continue from there. Yes. How does Krishna's voice sound? How does Krishna's voice sound? Krishna's voice sounds extremely sweet. That's as much as I know. And I hope that I can also understand and hear that voice very clearly. Yeah. Do we know the mantra Itil Gopakumar? I believe it's a Gayatri mantra. I do not know the Gayatri mantras. But I was hearing a lecture on by Bhakti Chiru Maharaj about this topic. And someone asked actually the same question. What's this mantra for us? What mantra can we chant? And he said the mantra which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received was Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this mantra drove Lord Chaitanya absolutely mad in love. And this is the mantra that we chant. So regardless of what the mantra that Gopakumar received, this is the mantra that we have that can give the same effect and result that Gopakumar had. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita that it's like this, 1% is done, and then when you pick up again, you're at 2%. And this way Krishna always remembers. And I want to bring this takeaway point in this whole conversation about how Krishna wants us more than we want him is Krishna has these amazing qualities that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. 64 qualities of Krishna, so many beautiful things. We hear again and again in Bhagavatam his greatness, how everyone bows down to him, how he is so supreme. But this class is not to say, Krishna is so great and we're so fallen. Let's just think about how great we are and we remain fallen. Rather, this class is to say that, no, Krishna has these wonderful qualities. And if we also want to reach the kingdom of God, we also have to develop godly qualities. If we want to associate with God, we have to also become godly. We have to take these qualities into mind and think, this is the person that I'm trying to worship and come to. If I don't emulate some of the qualities that he has, am I really progressing on the path? So this quality of gratitude, this quality of love, of appreciation, is something that must be cultivated in all devotees. And if you look at the qualities described of devotees, there's different qualities of transcendentalists described in Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. So many of these qualities match the qualities of Krishna. And the reason is, if we want to create a community, a society, in which we are able to associate with Krishna, go back to Godhead, then we have to create the atmosphere here now. The same atmosphere which Krishna has in Goloka Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, the atmosphere without envy, the atmosphere with gratitude, with love, with humility, with service, with tolerance. These things have to be cultivated within our own hearts and within the community and within everyone else has to practice these. And if we do that, we create actually an environment of the spiritual world here in the material world, here in New Ramanariti, here in our homes. And that way we can practice. So when we do have the opportunity to go back to Krishna, we're ready, and we have learned that we show Krishna, yes, I see how magnanimous, how wonderful you are, and I try to be like you in this way, so I can serve you in the same way. And so I was thinking if, what would our community, our classroom, our families, our own lives, how would they look different if we took this appreciating aspect that Krishna has, where he appreciates the smallest thing that someone does for them, even years, lifetimes after, that means more than what they don't do, than what we don't do for Krishna. What we do do for him means more than what we don't do. So think about it. Perhaps today, this week, find someone in your classroom, a teacher that you may not have said something that you appreciate about them, a friend, something you like about them, their personality, how they made you feel, and tell them, and tell them. It's not weird, it's not awkward, it's very sweet and endearing to appreciate someone else. So often we go around our friends all the time, and we hang out for hours at a time, months at a time, years. We may never say, hey, I appreciate this about you. Hey, I like this about you. I really like how you do this, you know, how you're so kind and gentle, how you're caring, you know, how you share with me, et cetera, et cetera. And there's once when there were disagreements in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's temples, he had this way of dealing when two people would fight with each other. If two people didn't like each other, they were saying bad things about each other, he would take those two devotees and publicly in front of other devotees, he would say, okay, now in front of the whole assembly of Vaishnavas, you glorify each other. Can you imagine that? You have a fight with your friend at school and your teacher makes you go in front of the whole classroom. Okay, now say nice things about each other to each other. But through doing this, he was making the point, if we have enmity towards each other, if we don't feel like we can appreciate what others are doing, we rather maybe think poorly of other people and not have that mood of gratitude towards each other, then this whole society and environment that we're trying to create to become Krishna conscious won't be there. And if Krishna has this so much in his heart that he appreciates every little thing that we do in our endeavor towards him, but we can't appreciate that about each other, then how is he really going to feel that, is my devotee really trying to be genuine in his love towards me if the people I love and appreciate, he doesn't? So I want to make this point very clear that in hearing about Krishna's qualities, it's not something that this is Krishna on a pedestal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am here, so fallen in Kali Yuga, and I have no hope, therefore I don't try. Rather, it's not that, yes, we are fallen to be in the material world, sure, we're in Kali Yuga, sure, but our qualification is our opportunity. That's our qualification. Prabhupada never bought when devotees would say, I'm so fallen, I have no qualification. His answer would always be, why? Then develop your qualification. I'm giving you an opportunity to become qualified. So this is the opportunity to become qualified. We're here in Srila Prabhupada's movement. We've received the mercy of the devotees. We're here at the school with other devotees. It's such a nice environment and such a nice opportunity that we have, that our qualification is to become qualified, is to develop these godly qualities which the Lord possesses. And in doing so, we create an environment which we can actually worship in him genuinely and sincerely and truly come back to him. And I want to finish off with one quote. Bhakti Sirta Maharaj had written four principles of a community, and that he held were completely essential to having a Krishna-conscious community of any sort. This could be a school, a classroom, a temple, a family. And the first one was, treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depends on the quality of your interaction with them. Treat everyone you encounter as if the success or failure of your spiritual life depends on the quality of your interaction with them. And I thought this sums up this class so nicely. If we see Krishna's desire for us compared to our desire for him, and if that doesn't spark some inspiration, if we see his amazing quality of gratitude and appreciation, like he says in Bhagavad Gita, then this should spark some desire in us that, yes, we can also develop this in the same way, move forward towards him. So with that, I'm going to pause and ask for any questions, comments, or reflections. Yes. Microphone coming.
If on a daily basis we can cultivate this practice of appreciation and gratitude towards others, that on a daily basis we're coming closer to Krishna through that practice?
Yes, and it may seem like this is not a direct bhakti practice. It is not a direct, you know, hearing and chanting, but we have to understand that the process of bhakti, part of it is anartha nivritti. Removing unwanted things from our consciousness and our heart. And if we can do this, then the quality of our bhajan, and the bhajan part happens before that. Through our practice of bhajan, meaning our practice of sadhana and the practice of bhakti, we move closer towards Krishna, but along that way, we have to also make sure that we're removing these impediments. And chanting helps clear that, but in how chanting helps clear that is it also helps us realize what we need to work on. It's not necessarily that you chant mechanically and chant mechanically and everything takes care of. We chant and things are revealed on what we have to work on so that our chanting becomes more pure and our love becomes more pure. And through the appreciation aspect, that removes envy from the heart. And envy is such a strong block in bhakti.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hand from Jeggy. We'll pass the mic over.
Ram Govinda Prabhu, I just wanted to express my gratitude for this wonderful class. And I wanted to also appreciate something you said. So in the verse, it was something about the power of three.
Yeah.
And we learn it in the Montessori-based schools that there is an essential part of storytelling is the power of three. And it's either like repeating something three times, or there's like three characters, or there's three something. It's just somewhere in there. Or just repeating the point three times about gratitude, or...
Mm-hmm.
And you then told the wonderful story of Gopakumar.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to appreciate that this power of three is an essential part of the storytelling, and then a big part of your class was a wonderful story.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a question that maybe we could open it up to the students. Can anyone else think of three items that connect with Krishna? Three things, like whether it's three something.
Yes.
Mridanga Kartals. I'll repeat it. You don't need to use the microphone. Mridanga Kartals and harmonium.
Okay.
Oh yeah, just blurt it out. Go for it. Okay, I'm hearing japa. What's two more things that go with that? Japa, burpee, and?
Puja.
And puja. Yes.
Mungo sweets.
Sandish, burpee, rescue. Yeah. Yes. Pain from oneself. Mm-hmm. Yes, Adi Devika, Adi Vodika, Adi Atmika. Thank you.
Clean, dancing, and serving.
Clean, dancing, and serving. Wow, that's a great one. Your hand was up.
Goodness, passion, ignorance.
Yes, and that was actually stated here. Prabhupada says the three modes of material nature. Thank you. Hand, yeah.
Knowledge.
Purity. You have one more? Okay.
Respect,
okay. Forgetfulness, you have two more for that?
Gratitude.
I suggest Radha saying Gorni Tai, Radha Shyam, Krishna Balaram. Okay, I think we got a lot.
Helping.
Yeah? I'll take two more, go ahead.
Brahma,
Vishnu, and Shiva, yes. Jaggi?
We see also there's like the repetition in verses like Harinama, Harinama,
yeah,
Harinama.
Yeah, yeah.
Nasteva, Nasteva,
yeah.
Nasteva.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. No, it's true. Om Shanti, 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 Om. Yes. You know. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Have a nice day. Hare Krishna. We still have some time. I know I only touched on the verse and purport a little bit. I went a little more into the story. But if anyone here in the crowd, maybe if there's something that stuck out from the verse, from the purport, the class, that you want to share your reflection on, you can continue discussion for another 10, 15 minutes. Someone could move, yes. A microphone will come your way. Yeah. You have to hold the power button.
Krishna is known as, his name is Tribhunga, or he's in the threefold bending form. And also a thing on gratitude. I was hearing this from Barshana Maharaj. I think he said it was when Krishna was talking to Lord Brahma, you know, just after he had stole all the calves and stuff, that Krishna said, most people are grateful for something that someone has done, he said, but I'm grateful for things that my devotees are gonna do in the future.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Yeah, he's also, in terms of three, Trikalagya, knower of past, present, and future.
There's also the Triveni, the three rivers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful point. Thank you.
And the Tridanda.
Yeah. Anyone else? Any thoughts on this pastime of Gopa Kumar or this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam? Hanuman. No? Oh, you have the mic.
Very nice class. Thank you.
Thanks.
I appreciate your team.
Yeah.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says gratitude is the divine quality without which no other good Vaishnava quality can develop. That's a very heavy statement. Because gratitude creates fertile ground in the heart, where we need to do two things. We have to grow spiritually, also go deeper. Deeper, and I was thinking, like in ISKCON event, we have sometime ups, down, you know, with the material nature modes affect even the leaders or something, you know, so many things happen. If we have a deep understanding, then we will not leave. We will still survive.
Yeah.
Radhanath Maharaj talks about, what's the trees in California, I forgot.
Redwood.
Yeah, redwood.
The tall ones, right?
Yeah, they have a, like a, underneath they have a root, like a tie up each other. And I never thought that. And he said, if we have a good relationship with the devotees, at least few groups, Prahladananda Maharaj, last Thursday, every Thursday we have a like ministry meeting, he was saying that if you have a seven devotee you found care for your spiritual life, you'll never leave.
Yeah.
I was like, so I asked Maharaj, I said, why seven? He said, well, that's how the Christian ministry also said this, so we are trying to also see, and it works, he said also. Even though I'm long time in the movement, he says, but I have actually minimum seven good friends who care for my spiritual life, and that's why I'm still here, and it makes sense. He says, like, if you want to feel I belong, you know, you want to feel like they care for me, I want to stay with them. You don't want to leave. And he said, it goes back where he started this expressing gratitude for what the friend does. So I appreciate you. I wish we would continue on this every day for the rest of our life. Be grateful.
Yeah, it's not just, sometimes it's, thank you for those points. And that quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is, really incredible. It's easy to think of gratitude as a sort of sentimental or mushy kind of feeling, but it's so crucial because I like to think about when speaking about a certain topic or thinking about some kind of quality or what would be the opposite of it, you know? So generally we hear about the mad elephant offense, the blaspheme another Vaishnava. But before it comes out of our mouth, it's usually in our head, and it's usually here. We feel something. So even if we're not outwardly expressing, you know, writing to someone about another person in a critical way, an overly critical way, without any love, if we're not expressing it or saying it out loud, it may still be in here. But if gratitude is there, then that starts to become removed. And we hear so much about how, like a mad elephant, will crush any kind of bhakti creeper that's growing if this tendency to blaspheme devotees is there. But I think even to take a step before, the speaking aspect is the thinking, willing aspect. That if that's in the heart, then that's still really, really bad, because eventually, then there's like the ground's not fertile, like you're saying. But if the opposite is there, which is gratitude and appreciation, then it's very fertile grounds. It saves us from the greatest danger that Krishna says. Thank you.
I remember he said, not only expressing gratitude, we also should hear other devotees' expression.
Mm.
Because more we hear and express, it goes within us and it actually nourishes to a point where we will sustain peacefully in our progression. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we'll feel like sometime topsy-turvy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a very safest way. Try to hear other devotees' wonderful glorification to Prabhupada.
And
also express ours.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else you'd like to share? Okay, we'll wrap up then. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.